the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
And a couple of things just before Jeff gets into some football-related things. Just some reminders of what Texas Athletics is involved in today. Texas Women's Golf, the NC Nationals in Scottsdale, Arizona. Texas Women's Tennis at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
And real quick, the golf championship, is that the same place where they play like the Waste Management Open? Is that the same course?
I think it's a different course.
Different course, okay.
Yeah. Also, Texas Women's Tennis in an Elite Eight match with Virginia. Texas Softball this afternoon, 4:30 from Seattle, Washington. The two seed in the Seattle Regional. They'll be taking on Weber State. You can hear that on 105.3 The Bat beginning at 4:15. And, of course, Longhorn Baseball. Game two of the three-game set with the Kansas Jayhawks this evening at UFC Udish Falk Field. 6:15 airtime, 6:30 first pitch on the horn. Now to the football.
Yeah, the Waste Management Open is at the TPC Scottsdale. Yep. I don't believe that's where they're playing.
That's correct.
Women's Championship. Okay, never mind then. I want to talk about some NCAA rules changes, and we'll get to a cut from Sark here in just a minute. We've got more football than nitty-gritty football, but as Craig mentioned, that Longhorn Blitz podcast, if you need it, you can go to hornfm.com or anywhere you get your podcast. Search Horns 24/7. That's Horns 24/7. No dashes, no slashes. Hit that follow button. Get every episode of The Blitz when it drops on Tuesday if you really want to get some granular Texas football discussion, even in the offseason.
I'm telling you, I had somebody ask me, he said, do those three guys, when they get into all that, to use the phrase of Greg Henson, who was here in town, booger eating, do they get into the, do they actually eat boogers? And I said, no, they don't.
No.
No, they don't.
None of that happening.
No, but they get into, like you said, the granular of that. It's pretty impressive stuff, by the way.
Freaking granular.
Yeah,
on the Blitz.
It's pretty impressive. I was kind of mesmerized on the drive home last night.
So Brian Fisher from Athlon Sports is who I saw first tweet this out. And this is citing sources. This isn't official yet. The Transformation Committee / Infractions Process Committee. Mm-hmm. I guess the NCAA has to make fancy names to make themselves feel important. The progress on a revamped NCAA Division I enforcement model is coming into clearer focus. Schools/conferences have recently submitted feedback on several concepts. Now, Craig, you tell me if any of these grab you, okay? We'll get to the one related to the Sark quote here in just a minute.
Okay.
As far as the head coach would be responsible for any staff violation without exception.
Buck stops with the head coach.
I agree. Banning coaches from the postseason instead of teams.
Hmm. Interesting.
Multi-million-dollar fines. Scholarship losses follow the head coach.
Wow. That's different.
And again, these are potential changes. This is the one that... This is like the dreaded and feared public reprimand that comes down desk of one... Robert Bowlesby and
or Greg Sankey
offices.
Yesterday,
yeah,
for both.
Bowlesby's the one that's like, okay, really, you're gonna do, his public reprimand.
It's like when Keith Moreland gets real mad at the home plate umpire for issuing a warning and writes the note. He goes, oh, he's gonna write a note. He's gonna send it to the teacher. Oh no, he is the teacher. He's gonna write a note and send it to the principal. It just infuriates old school baseball people to see umpires writing down the notes, and I said, well, you know, they're doing that to say they have a record of you having been warned. Yeah, but do they have to write a note?
When we talk about people not getting their feeling, not wanting to get their feelings hurt in public, one potential change is penalties for trashing NCAA enforcement in public comments.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous. You're going to write a note on that?
So
you could get in trouble for being critical of the NCAA in a public forum is basically what that is.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's silly.
That's insane. It's ridiculous. Dare I say it's despicable. Among other changes to potential NCAA recruiting rules,
okay.
All high school recruiting in all sports starts June 15th after the prospect's sophomore year. Eliminating restrictions on visits, calls, etc. Okay. Now that might sound like, okay, you're really going to overwork your coaches if you're just going.
So how is it right now?
You've got, you know, your live period, your contact period,
right.
Which you can do that. Even during your quiet period, you can still have on campus visits, but coaches can't go on the road. And then you've got your dead period where you can still have communication, but you're limited to, I think it's, I think you get one phone call a week or two phone calls a week, unlimited written communication. But basically, you're saying do away with that. There would only be two recruiting periods. Basically, you would eliminate the quiet period and whatever. You basically have a contact period and a dead period.
Okay.
That's it. And a limited number of recruiting days. So basically, you're going to – probably what you would do at that point, your dead periods would probably be longer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just – when it's a contact period, it is full bore. There are no restrictions, nothing. Coaches can, you know, blow up a kid's phone as much as they want, whatever.
Well, it sounds cleaner that way.
I agree.
It's pretty black and white on that.
Yeah. Okay, so lots of focus and concern on coaching changes, which would basically eliminate any okay, here's the key. Sark was asked at the Touchdown Club at Houston luncheon, if there was one NCAA rule you could change, what would it be?
Mm-hmm.
He said it would be the number of coaches that are countable coaches on your staff. Basically, like Gary Patterson right now.
Doesn't count as a coach.
Right. He can go out to practice. If he sees a safety, for instance, and this is the example Sark used, and I'm paraphrasing here. If he sees a safety take a bad angle or misdiagnose a player, make a bad read, he can't go up to that safety right then and there and correct it. That's a violation. But he can tell another staffer or whatever or make a note and then go do it later. Like, it's just streamline that process a little bit and take out the unnecessary buffer. So it says, this is Brian Fisher from Athlon tweeting this, lots of focus and concern on coaching changes, which would basically eliminate any designation of what is a coach. Grad assistant, volunteer, head coach, off-field, on-field, etc. But also notable, getting rid of rules regarding hiring individuals associated with recruits, too. Now, that's a whole different ball of wax. It's, hey, you know, there's a moratorium. If you recruit a kid from a certain school, you can't hire the coach for a certain amount of time, whatever. But getting rid of the accountable coach rule. And Sark said this in Houston, too. He said, basically, if a program wants to have 20 head coaches on staff, why should anybody care where they want to devote their resources to? If they want to hire that many coaches, then let them hire that many coaches. And it sounds like, Greg, that's potentially where things could be headed. This isn't mentioned in these proposed rules because this is a rule change. So along those lines of what Sark wanted, I asked Sark in Dallas, I asked him about the potential of the NCAA eliminating the 25-man cap on initial counters. We know that rule has gone in place. I don't think Sark has been asked about it, but this is, I can make myself useful every now and then. This is what Sark told me when I asked him about it in Dallas.
I think with the transfer portal now, I think it's probably a smart thing. You know, you think about, we're trying to sign a class in December and then in February, and you just don't know how many kids you might have leave your program, what attrition you might have come post-spring. And so then at that point, you're trying to get yourself back to 85, and you may have used all of your initials in the old format. So now, just to be able to get to 85 scholarships, I think it's a good format and a good mechanism for it to work.
Yeah, what you didn't hear there, good job editing that on the fly, Snoop. Right there, we're all kind of gathered around Sark. Craig, you remember, because there were some travel issues and Sark mm-hmm. kind of got there late, so we're doing our little impromptu press conference with him, and Chris Beard comes over my right shoulder and tells the group, he says, hey guys, the athletic director is going to fire the basketball coach if I don't get the football coach over here pretty soon to get this thing started, so can you guys wrap it up pretty quick? But also, that was Sark on the, and you know, we heard from Mike Roach last hour,
and by the way, the travel issues had to do with when Sark went back from Midland to meet with Jordan Addison.
Yeah.
And then when that happened,
you can let that cat out of the bag now, because who cares?
And when they had the visit, went back there, then that delayed everything being able to leave because the family, which was involved in that whole process, was on Zoom and all that stuff. So there, it was a protracted afternoon, more so than was scheduled for the time, and that's why it delayed the process.
So that was Sark on the 25-man cap roll, which we know is now in effect. And we heard from Mike Roach last hour, our recruiting editor at Hornets 24/7, which, by the way, podcast page at hornfm.com if you want to hear that conversation with Mike. Pretty much, it really gives you some leeway in terms of building your roster. Like with the 25 initial counter cap, and it can be more or less in terms of how many can you roll back from the previous year. In other words, if you only added 20 new scholarships, okay, you could have five you could roll back. That's how you can have 30-man signing classes and with transfers and everything included. You can have 30 new bodies, or in the case of Texas this year, I think they're going to be 33 by the time it's done, unless they add somebody between now and the end of the month. So take all that into consideration. You don't have to worry about that anymore. All you got to do is manage the 85. Well, part of that, too, is you can afford to take some chances, maybe take flyers on guys that we think, hey, this guy probably won't help us this year, but we think he's got the tools to be a really good player. Now you can take that guy, and if you're a good developmental program, you're developing, Craig, and really get back to, you know, the guy I use as an example is Sam Cosmi. We talk about player development because Sam Cosmi was really one of the last recruits Texas signed where the year before the four-game redshirt rule came into effect where you're going to redshirt. You know, I went with Sam Cosmi when he got to Texas, like 282 pounds.
Yeah.
You're going to redshirt. You're going to be on the scout team, you know, on travel days. You're not going to be on the travel squad. You're going to get that extra lift in and get you on the meal program. Don't even worry about playing. It's out of sight, out of mind. You're just going to redshirt and develop. And 1 year into that, as we saw when he got thrown into the fire in that Maryland game as a redshirt freshman, we're like, dude, Sam Cosmi looks like a player. Like, especially at some positions like offensive line, that 1 year of development is so critical. Now you can take those guys and you can redshirt guys. A guy that might have been a fringe guy on your board, but you say, okay, because of numbers, we really can't take this project guy. Now maybe you can take him if you can fit him into the 85.
True.
And develop somebody and really bolster your roster that way. So that's something to take into consideration. So there's some other stuff that Brian Fisher from Mathlon tweeted.
Okay.
At Brian D. Fisher, if you want to find him on Twitter. He's got all this laid out. But I just wanted to hit those couple of things. And I'm kind of with you. I thought the penalties for trashing NCAA enforcement in public comments is asinine.
Yeah.
Just call it what it is.
It is just silly. All right. It's time for our